This is News Director Larissa Donovan continuing our series of interviews with Bemidji City Council candidates. Joining me on the phone today is Council Candidate for Ward 5, Ernest Joey Opegard-Pelcher. Did I get that all right?
Nope, you didn't. It's actually Ernest Joseph Opegard-Pelcher III, but you all can call me Joey.
Okay, so I'm going to call you Joey from now on. Sorry about that.
Okay, no worries.
Why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about your background, like how long you've been in Bemidji?
Well, my husband and I moved to Bemidji about 2 years ago. Prior to that, we were living in Grand Forks, and for my background, I have about 7 years, give or take, within local politics over in North Dakota and over here in Bemidji itself. And as for, are you looking for job information or
anything you want to, like civic activity, jobs you've held, things like that?
Oh, okay. Well, let me think. I used to be an advocacy volunteer and worker for foster care and adoption youth. I sat on a local and a state board for foster care and adoption for about 5 years. I started out as the treasurer, moved up to secretary, moved up to vice chair, then chair of the local group, and then I was a general member and then vice chair of the state group. Other than that, I also sat on the North Dakota Foster Care Adoption Task Force for about 4 years, I want to say. And it was a great experience for myself. I grew a lot. I was able to network with a great amount of strong people within North Dakota. From there, I ran a federal campaign for Dustin Pyre out of North Dakota. He was primarying Heidi Heidkamp in 2018. We did not end up winning. We pulled about, 20% of the caucus. And that was also a great experience. It was a slap in the face to party politics and electoral politics with learning how to deal with the campaign finances, organizing the whole team, getting out there, door knocking, teaching people how to canvas and door knock. It was an amazing experience, and I would not have changed that anyway. Even though we lost Dustin, myself, and the team, we had a great time. Let's see. Most of my work experience has to do with caregiving. It has nothing to do with politics, and really, I'm a caregiver at heart, and that's why I feel like being a public servant fits me perfectly well, because I'm here to serve the public. I worked for the state of North Dakota with at the Developmental Center, also known as the Life Skills Transitioning Center currently. I was third generation out at the facility, my grandfather being the union chair for a good bit of time. My mom worked out there until she was diagnosed with a disability and put on to disability. And then myself, who was out there. Let's see. I used to work for the Department of Labor as a contracted employee through MINAC, which is Minorities in Action, as a residential advisor for the Quinton Burdick Job Corps. That was one of my most fulfilling jobs that I had. I got to work with the youth, and I wasn't really a caregiver, more just a person there for guidance and to ensure that my youth were, you know, doing their homework and not doing anything that they were supposed to be doing. Besides caregiving, my second longest career has been working for gas stations. I've been assistant manager for two gas stations One in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, Western Convenience, which was great. I actually was going to be moved up to the management position, yet I had to turn that down and relocate back to North Dakota. Around that period of my life, my mom was being diagnosed and in and out of the hospital. I ended up moving back to actually take care of my mom, which I spent 5 years with my mom taking care of her up until about 2 years ago, where my sister took over that responsibility as a wedding gift to myself and my husband. Another place where I've been assistant manager for at a gas station was here in town at the Holiday gas station. I was assistant manager for both of the stores here in town for about a half a year up until I took a position with MN Voices and MN 350, Bemidji 350, and Rock the Vote to do get out the vote here in Beltrami County and the surrounding area. Currently, that program actually is in a restructure process, and I'm currently laid off working temp over at a local grocery store, and I have 2 weeks there until my program starts back up, and I can't wait. I can't wait to be actually engaging with the public again and door knocking and all that jazz. Let's see. I don't want to bring partisan politics in this too much because my position is for a nonpartisan position. Yet, I've been an active member of the Democratic Party for about 7 years. Prior to that, I was born into a Democratic family who in North Dakota, which is very hard to find. Yet, in North Dakota, the organization, or the group of people that brought me in, and we were peers with each other, and we were fighting the good fight within the Democratic Party, we reorganized the Nonpartisan League of North Dakota. And if anyone out there that knows what the Nonpartisan League is and what it is, it's a part of the Dem MPL. It's the NPL of the Dem MPL. And they are focused on people-centered policies and anti-corruption policies. That's been one of my major pushes since I've jumped into the political circuit. I was drawn in by Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks, his pack, which is the Wolf Pack. And what that pack intends to do is put forth a convention of states to address campaign finance reforms. And through Wolfpack, I actually was able to speak to the North Dakota legislators on behalf of the Convention of States and pushing for campaign finance reforms. Ultimately, one of my biggest goals in life is to reform campaign finances and take out the corruption that we have within our politicians to abuse our public funds. And I've been fighting for that for the last 7 years, or excuse me, actually the last 8 years. And it's a huge theme in my life is I was born and raised in a single parent home. We grew up living paycheck to paycheck, budgeting our money, having to ask ourselves those difficult questions. Can we afford this? Can we get it cheaper? Can we wait until it goes on sale to get it at a better price? And my mom, and I know a lot of other single parent homes, we can relate that, you know, money, the dollar actually means something, and that we don't want to waste it. And when I see politicians just rushing through procedures to get over with on votes and just not asking the question, you know, can we wait? Can we get a better price? Will you come to Bemidji if we don't give you as much tax incentives. And, you know, my opponent, Nancy, she actually does ask a lot of those great questions, and I appreciate her for that. Yet my issue with Nancy is she fails to follow through and actually go through on the line of questionings and the thought process that she is leading up to. Most recently, to recall, Nancy was, or the city council was addressing the local businesses and putting in those water barriers on Beltrami Avenue. And the city was opening up on the Monday, and they were deciding this on Friday, which, in my opinion, they should have done that earlier. And they ended up paying out overtime and jumping on a deal that was offered to them right away, rather than, you know, allowing our community to come together, those local businesses, because those local businesses had plans on how to block off the street. But we could have waited out maybe a week, plot that into our labor budget so we're not paying overtime, and then have our business manager look around and see if there's any other better deals we can get if we hold out just a little bit longer. And I watched Nancy as she's lining up all the questions, you know, how much would overtime be? We never got that exact answer. If we wait, are there any better options? She was stonewalled and was not able to get the answer for that. And Emily on the city council was with Nancy on these questions, on these lineups. And, you know, I'm impressed by Emily. She was trying to get to the conclusion to get a better opportunity and financial outcome for our public funds. And I wish that Nancy and Emily would have teamed up there and actually pushed it further than just allowing that deal to go through, because we, in my opinion, we definitely could have saved a good sum of money. Going back to my history, my experience, I've been a political commentator on and off for the last 4 years, starting out at Real ND News and then helping out with here and there on the Young Turks, and contributing with just independent media. I also am a novice public speaker. I recently was asked to do a speech, a paid speech for gays, lesbians, transgendered, questioning and sexual identity association youth to an organization here in Beltrami that focuses around youth and caregivers, social workers, and other professionals that work with youth. That was scheduled for June 1st, but unfortunately, since the COVID-19 crisis came out, that was postponed to a further future date that has not yet been released. Yet, I am a novice public speaker. I have a lot of ums in it, and you can see that when I was a panel member for the Peacemakers Overcoming Racism conference this past November. I was a panel member for the final panel on racism, how the youth can deal with it, what the community plans on doing with it. And it was an amazing, amazing panel that we had. I honestly felt, thought, and it was under my impressions, that it was only going to be me and another person, and at the last minute, Ashley was able to tie in a few other people and get a full, nice, rich panel. I did end up going a lot off of my notes, just for reference, and, you know, that's why I still consider myself a novice, because, you know, I still have to have those notes. I do get the I do mistake and have to correct my words here and there. And, you know, I'm only human. And starting out, I hope that's, you know, okay with everyone, because I'm not your politician. I am your public servant, and I'm here to serve the public, and they will choose me even if I'm stutter over my words or if I mistake on a certain phrase, which happens time to time. I am at heart a caregiver. I've said that before. I paused my life for 5 years, and I would still be doing it for my mom. And honestly, my life goes back to family and community.
All right. Well, that's quite the background. My next few questions are on some specific city issues. If you feel like you don't have enough information at this time, we can certainly skip them. But my first question is on the city's taxable land issue. About half of the city is non-taxable land and properties, so a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What sort of creative solutions have you maybe thought of to address that problem?
Well, first off, I'd like to go into our businesses that are not locally owned and assess how much taxes they're currently putting into our public funds. And then I'd also like to check to see how much public funds that we're giving out or we're ignoring through contracts that we're giving to these out-of-area businesses. And I think once we dig into those, we'll find that a hefty sum of funds that we are not accessing. As for the other land that's not being taxed, you know, we need to actually go through and reassess that. We need to see if these lands, you know, should be rightfully not taxed, or if there is a tax that we can levy on those properties.
Yeah, a lot of those non-taxable properties are churches, hospitals, schools, and government buildings. An issue that's not just to Bemidji. It's a lot of county seats across the state.
Those are normally not taxable entities either way, and I would not suggest taxing schools, government buildings, or churches at all.
Right, all right. So my follow-up question to that, what are your thoughts on a hospitality or an additional sales tax to relieve some of that burden, especially for those ever-growing costs at the Sanford Event Center?
You know, I don't believe enough that a lot of our hospitality are our local-owned businesses, and I'd rather not put that pressure on to them. And there are other means where we can find the funds.
All right. My next question is on that Highway 197 business corridor. You know, where kind of Paul Bunyan Drive kind of juts off to the west from Bemidji Avenue. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway in 2024, and they're back to the drawing board after a plan for multiple roundabouts was scrapped, but they need the city council's approval, really, to move forward. What are your thoughts on that stretch of highway, and what should be done?
So I just hit that other stretch with all those roundabouts over by the Bemidji High School, and, you know, I have to agree with a lot of our citizens. That is a trap, that is a hazard, and it is a danger. We could have done that a heck of a lot better without investing on those roundabouts, which cost us a heck of a lot of money, when in reality all we needed was stoplights with a timer so we can set the timer past a certain time just to hit the blinking red and yellow light. As for MnDOT, I would not want another stretch of roundabouts. And if that's one of their suggestions, I honestly, they have to go back to the drawing board and come to us with a better option.
All right. My next question is on the city's water systems. The drinking water needs an expensive fix, and the wastewater treatment facility is probably going to need another big fix as well. And the Minnesota legislature is currently in session working on a bonding package, but the outlook is kind of bleak as we speak. What sort of things do you think, so without those bonding dollars, the burden to pay for the especially the water treatment plant will likely fall to utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the needs of Bemidji's water and possible funding solutions if you've got them?
Well, honestly, water is one of the biggest factors here in Bemidji. If I remember right, we have 7 wells and 6 of them are poisoned currently, so we're running off of 1. We really need to have access to that waste treatment facility and to actually have a future for our clean water. I'm working with local organizations here in Bemidji. There are plans being drafted and discussed on how to address this situation, but a lot of that we're going to have to be pressuring as citizens and as council members and also as Beltrami County commissioners to actually talk to our representatives and our state representatives and get them on board with us because we're running out of time. And we don't want to end up like Flint, Michigan with our water being poisoned and our citizens having to face the health repercussions to having poisoned water. As for financing plans, you know, we do have a lot of waste in spending in our public funds, and I see addressing a lot of that bringing a good amount of money back home. Yet for these huge infrastructure programs, we have to team up with the county and we have to team up with the state. And if the state's not willing to help us, we should also be willing to network and team up with the feds, the national. Luckily, I over my last 7 years, I have made those connections with our county commissioners and state officials here throughout Minnesota. And then I also have some national connections as I was working over in North Dakota. And I feel confident that I can find the right bridge to cross to get those funds here to Bemidji.
All right, my next couple of questions are on some current events. Recent events in the city and the state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a council member to improve race relations and trust?
So, as I said, I've been working with groups here in Bemidji to help develop my platform, my planks, and the plans that we as a community are putting forth through the different campaigns and organizations here in Bemidji. Race relations is one of our key issues. I'm just going to simply go down my stances quickly right now. And one of my huge things is I want to create and implement a citizens elected ethics board, elected by the citizens of Bemidji to serve a 2-year term. I would like to see the board have the power to terminate Bemidji public employees, public educators, and law enforcement officers. And I would also like the board to have legal representation to apply legal repercussions for private employers and public employees. Community health is part of that cultural relations. We need to meet the basic needs of our local population that includes our homeless and tribal members. Utilizing funds to establish alternative intervention techniques other than law enforcement. For instance, social workers rather than law enforcement, child services, and EMT. We need to create a mental health response team, emergency response team, excuse me. Clinical care for all, free testing, and a needle exchange. I understand that drug use is a huge problem, but also are those transmittable diseases that are going around. And for the greater health and for the safety of Bemidji, we need to give these avenues for safety needle and a screening testing. provide an ongoing Native and Black American cultural training for all public employees and police officers. And it's to my understanding that Chief Mastiff has been reached out over the last 4 years by numerous different organizations here in Bemidji and Beltrami, and being asked if he would put the officers through this cultural training. And every time that it's brought up, he's steamrolled them and blackballed them and refused to allow that training to go on. My job as a city council member is to make him understand that it's his job to be aware of the cultures here in town. He needs to participate in this training, and our police department needs to also participate in this training. It is apparent. We need tribal collaboration, engagement, authentic inclusion, provide adverse trauma and childhood experience training for all public and community service providers, law, and judicial staff. A tribal collaboration, engagement, and authentic inclusion in community planning and development. Critical Race Relations Task Force. Create a community advisory board to bring a two-way communication between law enforcement and local neighborhood representatives. That would be a community health advisor. We need to decriminalize poverty. And what that means is, if there's a taillight, you're not going to be pulled over and find a ticket or given a warning. You're just going to be asked, hey, you know, your taillight's out. You might want to go get that checked. You're not going to fear the police thinking, oh, hey, they're going to give me a ticket. That's why I'm being pulled over. You're just going to be simply, okay, thank you, officer. And then, you know, you're more likely going to stop at Ace or Napa and pick up an extra taillight, get that fixed right away, and not have to be in fear that you're going to possibly lose your next week's cash for maybe a bill, your rent, your phone payment. These fines of $50, maybe $100, our community doesn't understand. When you're poor, when you're living paycheck to paycheck, that $100, that $50 means the world to our family. So giving out a citation for a missing taillight, that's morally wrong. We also need to address our non-violent drug offenses and create non-jail alternatives here in Bemidji. And I understand that we have a few treatment centers here in town, yet there needs to be more staffing, more funds, and more resources for those centers. And honestly, it would be nice to have that spread out and have a few more centers throughout Beltrami, but that would be a commissioner's position, not mine. Restorative justice for petty crimes, community service rather than jail. And that should be one of our main priorities. You know, we have ditches that have garbage in them. We have lawns and public grass that needs to be trimmed. There's simple things that we can do that will relieve the burden of the public funds to be issued out to public employees by networking with our local judicial system to actually have them give those opportunities to those offenders.
All right, well.
Tourism is imperative to our health and economy, and that goes hand in hand with the racial divide here in Beltrami. Tourism in our region should be culturally informed, historically accurate, inclusive of the Anishinaabe people, the my people. We're all on Anishinaabe land. And with that being said, my people are not being represented enough here in Beltrami, and you see the hatred and the conflicts that it's causing between our residents and the different communities that we have here. We honestly need to embrace the multiple cultures that we have in Bemidji. And I understand that, you know, there is an attempt to do such, yet we still have racist monuments here in Bemidji that won't be taken down. And those are meant for tourist attractions. So we need to address that situation. We need to bring the tribes into Bemidji. The tribes are one of the largest revenue sources for our tourism and for Bemidji itself. And if we're not honoring those connections, that bridge between us and the tribes, then we're just using that community and abusing that community. Well, those tribal members and those Native American community members here in Beltrami have to live their life in fear because we're not doing our part to make them feel comfortable here and coexist with each other. Education to support our next generation of leadership. We need to be in those schools teaching treaty rights, teaching the heritage of the United States, the accurate history of the United States, not just brushing over the Trail of Tears and giving out that fake, well, the Trail of Tears only killed, what was it, they say 300, 400 people, when in all actuality, that era killed thousands upon thousands of Native Americans, which is not covered within Beltrami and which is not covered here in Bemidji. And we need to set up a mentorship program, push for apprenticeships and a youth advisory positions here in Beltrami. I sat in over this week on one of the peacemakers trainings with the youth of Bemidji, and a lot of their grievances are that they are not being heard. They're not being represented. And in our schools and in our town, they're being neglected and abused by people with authority over them. We need to push for a Bemidji Youth Advisory Council of a sort, so the youth here in town can be civically engaged and can give us their needs, issues, and grievances, and we take those with respect. Thank you.
All right. Well, that about sums up my questions for today. Ernest Joseph Oppegard-Peltier III for Ward 5.